Blog Talk Radio.
It's a song we learned in Zimbabwe. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you.
everyone. This is Pastor Kim from Vision of Hope Ministries in Charlotte, North Carolina. Let me start by saying that I do have a bit of a cold, so I sound a little clogged. But I'm here nonetheless, giving God praise and thanks. We're going to get started with a little bit of prayer. I'm not going to be here before you long, but let's just get started with prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your kindness, and your mercy. We thank you for every opportunity to come together and be with you and to study your word and to learn more about you. We thank you for how you've watched over us, how you're keeping our families, Lord, during this season and this time. God, we thank you that we are mindful that you are the reason why we have this season, Lord. That it's not just about gifts and presents and Santa and all of those things, but it is about you, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and how you came into this world with a mission and a purpose. Father, we ask you to help us to learn our purpose, just as you led your son, God, lead us into our divine purpose, why you have us here and what you would have us to do and be. We ask you to bless those that are sick and shut in, those who are not able to come out and fellowship and do the things that many of us are able to do. Those who have loved ones who have not made it to the end of 2015, God, we ask you to bless them and to comfort them, because even though, again, this is a time of joy, for some it's a time of bereavement. So we ask you to be with them. We're going to continue to give you all the glory and the honor and the praise and all that we say and do. Most of all, Lord, we want you to get the glory out of our lives, and we'll be so careful not to take anything that you do for us for granted. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen. I'm going to talk to you briefly tonight about For unto us a child is born, and I'm going to be coming from two scriptures. One is Isaiah, the 9th chapter, beginning at the 6th verse. And again, if you just got on the line, I wanted to say that I do have a bit of a cold, but I'm here nonetheless, praising God and glad to be in fellowship with you. Isaiah, the 9th chapter, beginning at the 6th verse, that's my Old Testament scripture, and then I'm jumping over to Luke. And we thank God for his goodness. Hallelujah. Woo. I can't help it. I just got to say it. I'm so excited. You know, this is the fun time about being a teacher, because I get to be off in a couple more days. Glory to God. So I'm so excited about that. Isaiah, the 9th chapter, beginning at the 6th verse. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. This is the description and the mission that was given to Jesus and was prophesied about his coming. So we thank God for this. And if I just would leave you with a small word, it would be, don't let anybody define you. If you know who you are, particularly who you are in Christ, and you know what your purpose is, then you're going to have to stick to that no matter how many obstacles you come across. Again, this is the prophecy from Isaiah about who Jesus is and what he is supposed to do. So I'm going to read it again because it's only two verses. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. So he's going to have some responsibilities. But listen to this. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. So there'll be no end to increase of government and the amount of peace that he can and will bring. That ought to cause us to have some joy. upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forevermore. So from the time that he comes on the scene, he's going to set things in order from that time forward, even unto evermore, even unto forever. Amen. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. You know, a lot of times the Bible talks about zeal, and that zeal is that energy. You know, the youth, they have so much zeal. They have so much energy. But the Bible talks about having zeal, but not according to knowledge. It's one thing to have zeal, but look what happens when you have zeal and knowledge and wisdom. The scripture says the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. It's going to cause this to happen. So again, this is the prophecy given. This is the description of who Jesus is. And so we, once we know our mission, we don't want anything to redefine us. And you have to stay focused in order to do that. So let's look in the book of Luke, the 23rd chapter. Look right there real quick for me. The book of Luke, the 23rd chapter. And I want to show you something. Hallelujah. I hope you're getting in all of your activities, your Christmas shopping and your baking and whatever it is. We've had all kinds of activities going on on my job. And so I hope you're getting everything in. We're looking at Luke, the 23rd chapter, beginning at the first verse. Then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Messiah, a king." So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. Then Pilate announced to the chief priest and the crowd, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But they insisted, "He stirs up the people all over Judea by his teachings. He started in Galilee and has come all the way here." So the prophecy that was given in the book of Isaiah is coming to pass. He is bringing peace and government wherever he goes. But he has some opposers and some accusers. So verse 6, on hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. So if you know anything about this, you know Pilate was trying to get off from under the responsibility of crucifying Jesus. Verse 8 says, when Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased because for a long time he had been wanting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform a sign of some sort. So Herod didn't sound like he was interested in seeing Jesus out of respect and out of honor, but he wanted to see if he could do what his reputation said that he could do. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. My God. It's so much that you can get out of this, and it's stirring me up even now. You know, sometimes your accusers will come with questions, but Jesus didn't give any answers. You don't have to answer your accusers. Hallelujah. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there vehemently accusing him. The Bible says the devil is the accuser of the brethren. I talked about that Sunday for those of you who were in church Sunday. Those who are bringing accusation against you, the Bible says that's the devil's job to accuse. It's one thing to ask a question and get an answer, but it's another thing to accuse. Verse 11, then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him. Dressing him in an elegant robe, they sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. So listen to this, people of God. The mission of Jesus was so strong, and his enemies were coming against him to such a degree that the enemies who didn't like each other or were enemies against each other came together and formed a friendship just to come against Jesus. Now, that's powerful. That's a powerful word. The other part that I want you to see is verse 10, it says, the chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there vehemently accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him, dressing him in an elegant robe. They sent him back to Pilate. So dressing him in an elegant robe, again, takes me back to Isaiah, where it says his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. So when you read that, it makes you think of the elegance of the robe, of the power, of the respect that Jesus should have. Hallelujah. But here, they dressed him elegantly to mock him. Are y'all getting this? He was given a title. He was given a responsibility. He was given a purpose. And he did not let that stop him. But in the eyes of his peers and of leaders and of others, he was mocked. He was ridiculed. He was made fun of. Herod didn't want that responsibility either. So Herod sent him back to Pilate. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people and said to them, you brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us, as you can see. He has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him. My God, there is so much in this, and I wish that I had some time. Pilate recognizes that he has no reason whatsoever to put him to death. He recognizes that he was not inciting people to rebellion. He was just a leader doing what he had been called to do. He recognizes that neither him nor Herod want the responsibility of killing him. So what does he subsequently do? He says, therefore, I will punish him and then release him. Even though he's done nothing, he's going to punish him and then release him. So again, don't think just because you get that wonderful prophecy or just because you know what God has called you to do. Isaiah was prophesying and gave this beautiful outlook of who Jesus is, what he was supposed to do, and how it was all going to appear. And when you listen to that in Isaiah, it sounds wonderful. But when you get some of the reality of that in the book of Luke, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, and Jesus is our example, because the scripture says the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus took on flesh and dwelt among us. He is our example to show, hallelujah, what he had to go through to be able to continue his mission and his vision. So I'm saying to you that no matter what type of opposition you have to go through, maintain your vision, stay focused, and know that Jesus has set the example, that it may not be as luxurious and as pretty and as nice as you think it's going to be. Because come on, let's face it. If you've ever had any responsibility, and I'm talking particularly in ministry, you know, you might have said, okay, God, are you sure? Because I keep getting attacked. You know, you always hear, if you've got a vision of hope, or you might hear a preacher, you always hear a preacher say, if the devil is not coming after you, then that means you're not really a threat to him. But if the devil is coming after you, left and right, then that means that you're a threat to him. And any little way that he can try to attack, he will. Why? To get you off track, to get you sidetracked. To stop you from being able to be an encouragement to somebody else, to keep you from your mission, from your next blessing, from your next task. And so that's what the enemy would try to do. So again, for unto us a son is born, a child is given. Remember that pretty picture that we have of what Jesus' mission was in Isaiah is not always as pretty as it appears. So you have to stay focused. If anybody has any questions or comments at this time, if you press 1, then I can let you in. If not, I'm going to get off the line and let you enjoy the rest of your Wednesday evening. Invite somebody to come and listen on Wednesday nights at 6:30. We're here. We will be here next week and even the week after, 2 days before the Christmas holiday. We will be here. And so, again, we're asking you to invite somebody to come out. Any questions or comments? If not, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we are able to study to show ourselves approved, the workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We ask you to continue to bless us and make us a blessing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen. God bless you, and see you next week.